actually coming to the end of the first set, if you will, of our series that we're calling Believe. We have been using this book in our adult Sunday school class, and others have been using it as well, and we have been studying some very, very important biblical concepts of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We are learning to act, to think, to be disciples of Jesus. And so, I don't know about you, but I've been getting a lot out of this myself. And we have been looking together at the first 5 weeks. We were dealing with the key beliefs, five key beliefs found in Scripture that strengthen our relationship with God. We asked the question, well, who is God? And what does it mean to have a personal relationship with God? What does it mean to have salvation? Is salvation something that we earn, or is it God's free gift? And of course we learn that it's God's free gift. It's God's free gift to all who believe. And then the last few weeks, we're dealing with our relationship with one another. First 5 weeks, we dealt with our vertical relationship with God, and the last few weeks we've been dealing with the things that are horizontal in nature in terms of our relationship with one another and what it means to be part of the family of God, what it means to serve God in a day when we desperately need to do so. Week six, we learned the answer to the key question, how will God accomplish his plan? And, well, we learned that he'll accomplish his plan through the church, through you and I, God's people. And then in week seven, we tackled the question, well, how does God see people? And we came up with the conclusion that all people are loved by God and need Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. And last week, we worked our way through this key question, what about the poor? And what about injustice? And I realize that is very much a part of some of your thinking. Most of us are concerned about the poor. Most of us are concerned about injustice in this world because we know that this world is unjust in many different ways, in many, many ways. We see so many needs around us. And the biggest thing we learned was this, that we believe all Christians are called by God to show compassion to people in need. Whatever that need might be, whether it's physical or spiritual, all of us are called to help meet the needs of others. And so we're involved in this ministry of social justice and justice to the poor and so everything else. Now we tackle our next key question. The key question that we face today is this. What is God's call on my life? What is God's call on your life today? What is his call upon my life as we know him, as we experience him, as we understand more of his will through his word, through prayer, through fellowship and worship with other believers? What is God's call in my life? Am I part of the church, but what does he want from me specifically? What does God require of me specifically as a believer in him? Well, the answer to that question, I want to share with you our key verse for today, and it's found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 24. It's right after that great 23rd Psalm. Most of us know it by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then Psalm 24 begins like this. And let's read it together if it's up here, okay? Let's read it in unison. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. All right, the earth is the Lord's. It's his. Amen? It's his. All the beauty we see around us today, this is His. It comes from Him. All right? The psalmist is hearkening us back to Genesis chapter 1, where it says, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. Where the earth started out as a ball of water, and from that ball of water, God formed with the spoken word. And everything we see today, but not just everything, reveals that all who live in it are from God. That God took something out of nothing and made it something. That's hard to imagine. It's hard to think of. That God would take whatever He took. And we don't know what He took back then when He took it. Am I making sense? But He took it anyway. And He created it. And what we see today is what we have. Now you can argue, you know, evolution, whether we one day swung from trees like monkeys, whatever. The fact is God created us. God put us here. And if God put us here, He has a plan for us. And His plan is revealed in Scripture as we allow Him to work in our hearts. It asks us the question, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the key idea that we share today is this, that I believe, it says, everything I am or own belongs to God. Is that up there? I believe, well, let's read it together. I believe everything I am or own belongs to God. I believe that. Do you believe that? Everything I am, whether I own it or everything I am or own, it belongs to God. A lot of us have issues with that because we live in a world that says, I own it. It's mine. I worked hard for it. I earned the money to buy this. Or it's mine because it's mine. You ever watch a couple little 2 and 3 year olds fight over a toy? My grandson and granddaughter were doing just that last weekend. They were squabbling over a little toy. My grandson Ira, who's 4 years old, says, that is my truck, and don't you dare take it away from me, sissy. Calls his sister Sissy. And of course, his sister, Maud, replied back and says, no, who said it's yours? Anyway, she began a discussion on the issue, and it was a teachable moment. And so this is what we as disciples have in terms of our concept of stewardship, that we believe everything we have our own belongs to God. I want to share with you three principles this morning, very quickly, about this whole idea of stewardship. It's a very important part of who we are as Christians and what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And so if you follow with me, you'll see that the first one is very simple and yet thought-provoking at the same time, which says something like that God doesn't need what we have, so our giving must be for our sake. God doesn't need what we have, so our giving to Him must be for our own benefit, for our own sake. Now, have you ever thought of it in that way? When I was sharing with the children here that God owns the cattle on the thousand hills, He owns the hills as well. The Scriptures are very clear in that. The fact is that, you know, God really doesn't need it, but He created it. And it all belongs to Him. It's His. And so why does He invite us to give something back to Him that He already owns? Well, a good question. I believe that the answer to that is found in the fact that the blessing is more for you and I than it is for God. God wants us to be blessed, knowing that not only did He create everything, not only did He create the whole world, but He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to enjoy His blessings. He wants us to enjoy His creation. How many of you are going to get out today and enjoy God's creation? I hope you will, because it's beautiful. You know, 6 months ago, we were just dreaming of today, weren't we? When we were all buried up knee-high in snow. But yet, God has created everything we have for our own blessing. There's an incredible sense of purpose and peace that comes from serving and partnering with God. Doesn't mean that, you know, we are sovereign. It means, yeah, God is still sovereign. But in a sense, we are partnering with God. It may be hard for us to believe until we experience it, but that He is really letting us in on His work. He's letting us in on it. He is partnering with us. Now, that may be a difficult concept to try to understand, but I believe it can be backed up biblically that He is working with us. He wants us to enjoy Him forever, as that great old Presbyterian Westminster Confession of Faith says. He wants us to enjoy Him forever. The second, the fact is that God is the owner. And I said this earlier. God is the owner. We are the managers. There's a great passage in Matthew chapter 25. I hope you'll go home and read it. The adult class looked at this passage this morning. And it's a great passage that sets everything in context. Everything before us in terms of us understanding exactly what Jesus is saying about this. The second truth is this, and it's very important for us to remember in this whole idea of stewardship, that God is not asking us to accomplish great things, but to be faithful to invest in what He has already given us, in what He has given us for Him. He's not asking us to move mountains. He's not asking us to change the world. He's not asking us for anything else but to be faithful in investing what He has given us. And sometimes that's a little bit difficult for us to understand as well. You know, how many people get a little bit annoyed in the springtime? You drive up and down the road and you see trash all over the place. All over the roads, in the road, in the middle of the road, on the side of the road. It's really annoying to see why people would want to litter God's creation. Just throw everything out. People drive down the road and they don't want to mess up their car and they have a little plastic cup, so they pitch it out the window. And it's in the ditch. And it's ugly and it's terrible. And it's messy looking. You know, I was impressed this spring to see in town here all the scouts and all the people came together to just clean up the ditches. And that to me was telling me that, you know, we care about God's creation, that we care about our environment. Is it wrong for a Christian to care about the environment? No. We ought to be concerned about our environment. We ought to be concerned about clean water. We ought to be concerned about, you know, clean air. And all that God has given us, we are to be managers, and good managers, of these wonderful blessings from God. You go over to, a friend of mine just came back from over in China, and he was in one of the largest cities in China, and he says, it's absolutely filthy. Absolutely filthy. Smog, dirtiness and filth. We are so blessed that we live in a country that cares about the environment and clean air, clean water, everything else. Now, I know there's other issues that fall in under this point here, but these are just an example that we are to be faithful to invest what He's given us. And we can deal with that in many, many different ways. To be faithful in what He has given us. And, you know, if He's given you a blessing and you're enjoying that blessing, God wants you to be faithful in caring for it, to be faithful in investing what He's given you for that blessing. And the third thing that we need to remember this morning in this matter of stewardship is that God may not give us more because we have not been faithful with what we have. My grandmother used to tell me that. She used to say, if you're going to get more, you ought to be more responsible. You ought to be more faithful. You ought to look after what you already have before you can expect anything else. Some people beg for God to give more money, more influence, more power. And he may be whispering to you the tough truth that I'm not going to give you any more because you have not learned to be faithful with the things that I've already given you. And so, that's an issue right there. And that's something that ought to raise a red flag, if you will, for us to think about being faithful for the things that we already have. If you have money in the bank, if you have talent in terms of abilities that you can use to build up the church and to build up the body of Christ, God wants you to be faithful in using those resources, in those blessings. He may very well take it from you if you don't use it responsibly. And so there is a solid foundation in the Bible that tells us that if you don't use it, you can absolutely lose it as well. And I used to tell that to my kids. You use it or lose it. I used to be told that when I worked at Cabela's, when it came to using some of the tools I was given to be able to sell things to people. That if I don't use those talents, then I could lose them as well. And the same thing is in regards to our stewardship and our relationship with God. Now, I wish I had more time this morning. We have to stop right here. But here is one final thought. The fact is that we are going to be held accountable. And that verse we shared and we read together in unison as we began our worship this morning is very, very truth-telling. The wonderful blessing is that we as believers have already been judged for our sin. Jesus Christ has taken care of our sin problem when he went to the cross and when he died for our sins and when he rose again on the third day. We have been passed from death unto life. But the Bible tells us that we will be held accountable for how we deal with the things that God has given to us, the sins of the flesh, if you will, our sins of omission, and our sins of commission, if you will. That we will be held accountable for how we give. Not just our finances, but how we give our time, how we give our talent, how we give all the blessings, how we distribute them to the needs of the kingdom of God. We will be held accountable. And we need to keep that in mind. When we became Christians, God's Spirit deposited us, his inheritance of the Holy Spirit. If God is in us, he just has to come out of us. He just has to flow through us all our lives. You see, if you're a believer, others need to see that. Because the Scripture says, by your fruits you shall know them. If the Spirit of God never comes out, it exposes the fact that he's not there. If love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit are not evident in your life, then it may very well be that you have an issue as far as connecting with God. Maybe your relationship with God you need to evaluate. But let me ask you this question as we close this morning. And maybe you've heard it before, maybe you haven't. If there was a trial and you were the defendant, Would there be enough evidence to indict you? Turn that around. If you were being tried for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? My hope is that I will be convicted as a Christian. That there's enough evidence that when someone looks at me, they'll see that yes, there's spiritual fruit flowing from this person. There is legitimacy in terms of God living and working through this individual. And my hope is that there'd be enough evidence. But that evidence is not dependent upon me, it's dependent upon God. Would there be enough evidence to indict you as a Christian if you were put on the stand? Now, that's a pretty thought-provoking question. And I hope every one of us can say, yes, there's enough. I hope every single one of us would say, because of who Jesus is and what he's done in my life, that he lives in my heart through faith, that I'm a child of God, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm hoping, I'm trusting that the fruit of the Spirit is being revealed in me and through me. And other people can look at me and say, Jesus lives in that person. I hope we all can say that. If you're here this morning and you're not quite sure, you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Christ, you've never invited him into your life, into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you need to ask him into your life. Maybe you need to just pray and ask, say, Lord, come into my life. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need Jesus Christ. Help me to live for you, Lord, and help me to be your servant. The issue of stewardship is a life journey. You know, there's never, the Bible is chock full of what it means to live our lives as stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every single day, we're called upon to live out our lives for him. So we need to open our hands before God, and we need to just say, Lord, whatever I am, whoever I am, whatever I have, I give it to you. I want you to be not just my Savior, but to be the Lord of my life. If you haven't done that, I invite you to do it today through faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us of how important stewardship is. Thank you for giving us more than what we deserve. And help us, Lord, that we might give it all back to you. Lord, we ask that you would not only live in us, but that you would flow through us. Help us to love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning is the first Sunday of the month, and we